Be our text verse. It's going to take a while before I get there, but I want to help you this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, I'll read and then you read. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he hath taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the preaching of your book. Now, Holy Spirit, I need you again, Lord. I need you to fall upon my mind this morning. Give me clarity this morning. I pray, God, that there'll be no distractions this morning. I pray, Lord, that it'd be a peace as we preach about you and your word, Lord. I pray, God, that your will would be done. I ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to help you this morning on how do you get to the point of answering God's call? How do you get to that? We're going to kind of talk about Isaiah's vision this morning. What was it that Isaiah saw? Of course, Isaiah was one of the greatest Old Testament prophets in the Old Testament, obviously. One of very few men that actually got to see God. Moses was one that got to see him. Ezekiel was one that got to see him. Daniel, John, Stephen, just to name a few. But this passage here deals with Isaiah's call and the vision that he saw just prior to his answering the call that God had upon his life. We see this vision unfold. And what caused Isaiah to submit to the call? We're going to answer that question. I think by the time we get done here this morning, which will be about 2:30 this afternoon, just seeing if you're awake, it's okay. Amen. We can laugh. It's all right. We'll move right forward here. But we're going to see how he submitted to that call. In studying this message, I believe it would suffice to say that Isaiah here is a little bit discouraged. He's a little bit discouraged about his ministry, maybe some of the lack of success in his ministry. I think that he was maybe studying a little bit. We're going to go back to a few verses here in just a moment by way of introduction. But he was kind of on the verge of quitting his ministry, if you will. Isaiah 6:1 says that in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, there's that statement right there, that little phrase there, there's some significance to it. Back in 2 Chronicles, I'm going to read a little bit about King Uzziah real quick. This is it talks about his reign, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. If you want to turn to it, you may, but I'm going to just read a few verses here. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, it talks about Uzziah's reign, okay? I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to pick up in 16 in just a moment. It tells us the success of King Uzziah. Uzziah was a righteous king in Israel. God had given Uzziah good success and prosperity. During his reign, however, many accomplishments were made here. Some of the accomplishments were, number one, he served for 52 years. Now, that's a long time to go ahead and serve as king. He defeated Israel's enemies. You can read that in the first portion of 2 Chronicles 26. He defeated Israel's enemies, the Philistines and the Arabs and so forth. He built cities, therefore creating a strong economy, creating more jobs. They militarily, under his reign, became more stronger. Uzziah was mightily used of God to bring Israel, if you will, to greater heights. Then, in verse number 16, he realizes some of the things he did by the grace of God, if you will. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So what happened? Pride filled his heart. What happened to a good king now? a good king, served for years, 52 years, many, many accomplishments. I mean, he built a stronger economy. The military is stronger than ever. God used him mightily, but he got kind of viewing about what he did. By the way, Uzziah, let me tell you something. God did it through you. Let me just say this. Whatever accomplishments that are positive in your life, God did it through you. If you're going to go ahead and win a soul to Christ, Christian, God used you to go ahead and win the soul. It's not you that says, well, I saved somebody. No, God used you to save somebody. God did the saving, amen? And there's nothing better than being used of God. But if we're not careful, we'll kind of get puffed up. If we're not careful, we'll kind of get up on our own little mountaintop and say, well, look at me, and so forth. And this is kind of what happened to Uzziah here. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Okay, he was prideful to his destruction, and it brought him destruction. And then the Bible says that as a result of his pride course, he disobeyed God, he transgressed against God, and God struck him in his forehead with leprosy. God went ahead and he had the last word, and the result of Uzziah's sin brought much dismay to the people and caused many to become corrupt and also resulted in much chaos in Israel. Okay, now we find that Isaiah was a bit discouraged about this. I think as we read here, as I was studying, he was a little bit discouraged about this. He looked up to Uzziah. He was no doubt close to Uzziah. Uzziah was a godly king, but pride went ahead and set in. And as a result of his pride, it destroyed, it brought much chaos, and the people of Israel, the Bible teaches, was corrupted. Dismay was brought to Israel because of his sin. Chaos was brought to Israel because of his sin. 2 Chronicles 27:2, you can see how the people corrupted themselves as a result of King Uzziah. No doubt in our midst this morning, let me just say this, Isaiah's a little bit discouraged. Preacher, he kind of, I think, lost his vision, if you will. He was a little discouraged at the condition of Israel. He was a little bit discouraged at the condition of what was going on, the people corrupting themselves. He was down a bit, if you will. And no doubt in our midst this morning, there's some here, you're discouraged. You're kind of maybe almost at the point of being fed up, if you will. You're maybe a little bit dismayed. You may feel inadequacy to fulfill that which God wants you to fulfill. You may have some sort of heartache this morning. Maybe you're disenchanted with that ministry that God gave you. Maybe that class or that bus route. Things maybe seem a little bit chaotic, not just in your own world, if you will, but in America. You sometimes wonder, I've talked to Christians, what's going to happen in America? Let me just say this. You know, there's nothing that's happening in America that God does not have control of. God knows what's going on. He's still on the throne today, and we just need to, as God's people, pray and seek his face, and let's just go ahead and trust in God. But maybe things seem a little bit chaotic. Maybe you're concerned, if you will, about your nation. Let me just stop and say this. Uzziah knew better. Uzziah knew better. But you know what? He got puffed up. He got lifted up, if you will. You know what? The leadership, let me just say this. You know, and we can look at it in light of today, if you will. Leadership can cause problems to a nation. Leadership can do that. But let me just stop and say this, and I talked about a whole lot last week, it being the 4th of July weekend Sunday. You know what? But you know what? We need to be praying for our leadership. We need to be praying that God will use our leader. Okay, maybe that they're so far from God. Maybe they don't have any interest in the Bible or the Word of God and so forth. But you know what? God can change hearts, and God listens to the prayers of his people. And so it'd be a good thing if we'd go ahead and not necessarily be so critical. Yeah, we don't understand why some of the choices, decisions, but the truth of the matter is maybe we don't like everything that's going on. But what have we done about it as far as our prayer life is concerned? What have we gone ahead and done about it? I mean, instead of going ahead and saying, well, this happens, so-and-so, this guy's elected, this guy's having a Congress, this and this, we start pointing everything that's going wrong in Washington, if you will. But let me ask you a question, Christian. What have you done about it? Have you prayed about for them leaders? You know, God can use prayer. God can change our hearts. But maybe you hear this morning, a little bit of a side trail, but maybe you're here this morning, you feel a little inadequate, you feel discouraged, you're a little bit dismayed, you've got some heavy hearts, if you will. Maybe some marks of sin has caused you to feel inadequate to fulfill the will of God. Maybe you're doubting the will of God, if you will. And I think Isaiah was kind of feeling that way here. I think at this point, he was looking back, the year That King Uzziah died. You know what? He saw all the chaos that Uzziah's pride brought to Israel. That year was I imagine, a very traumatic year for this preacher, if you will. And maybe some of you here this morning, you're fighting some of them similar feelings that cause you to really wonder, God, are you there? God, I don't know if this can happen. I don't know if America can be saved. Isaiah says, I don't know if Israel can be saved. Look at all the chaos. The people are corrupting themselves. I just don't know if God is really there. God, can you really use me? Maybe you're feeling a little bit of inadequacy. Isaiah perhaps felt inadequate, but you know what? Here you see a vision. It was not until he saw who God really is that things started moving in Isaiah's life, and we're going to see that as we go. What I want us to notice this morning is that in this vision God gave Isaiah, that we will see some things that had to happen to Isaiah personally to have him become what God wanted him to do, to have him fulfill the plan of God, if you will. And let me say this, how do we get to that point of, here am I, God, send me like Isaiah? We're going to see what happened to Isaiah. But number one, we have to have a proper perspective of who God is. Look, listen right here in verse number one. I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah now in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The Bible says he was on his throne, picturing that he is king. He is superior. He knows everything that's going on. He's superior to anything. He's superior to anybody, any president he's superior to, any leader he's superior to, any other king in the world he's superior to. Hey, God is high and lifted up on his throne. Hey, you know, Isaiah had to go ahead and push himself out of the way. Isaiah kind of had to, he was discouraged, he was down, but he had to start viewing God as he really is. God, you're king. You know, Isaiah, the Bible says right here, he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. God is superior to anything or anyone else. He is the God of all God. It's no wonder that the Bible says in Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He is king. No one is to be exalted above the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Joshua said, is it any wonder that in his last address in Joshua 24, verse number 14 and 15, Joshua said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, the little gods, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua, that great commander, that courageous commander, he says, you know what? Hey, Israel, you know your sin, you know your wickedness. Hey, why don't you go ahead and do what I did? You serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods that you had, the little gods. Put away them things, them pleasure things that you think that you need to go ahead and survive, and you trust the Lord. Serve ye the Lord, the Bible says. And the Bible says in verse 15 of Joshua 24, the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods, little gods, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No wonder, you know what, Joshua had a good view of who God was. Joshua went ahead and saw God work a miracle at Jericho. Joshua went ahead and saw many, many miracles through his ministry and leading the children of Israel battle after battle, and he went ahead and God gave him the victory. Hey, you know what, Joshua had a faith. He realized who God was. He had a clear view of who God was. He had a proper perspective of who God was, and he says, Israel, you want to go ahead and serve the gods of this world? You want to go ahead and serve stuff, if you will, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like that. That's a daddy speaking too. You know, in my house. You know, I like that. Every time I read that, I say, and my house. That keeps on ringing, and my house. Joshua was a man's man. He says, for me and my house. That means my little boys and girls in my house that I am, and to go ahead and lead and to go ahead and teach the word of God. For me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Then he says in 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. You know, it's kind of like Joshua was saying, you know, I want you to see what I see in God. I want you to know, you know what, Joshua, you know, and that's why I think one reason, of course, Joshua is a man of God. Moses is a man of God. God uses preachers to go ahead and help and remind us how good God is. You know, and I think in this case, you know what, Joshua is doing that, just that. You know, it's no wonder as well Moses, of course, he lost his temper. Moses had a very quick temper, but Moses lost his temper with the children of Israel, who corrupted themselves with lewd behavior and fell in worship of a golden calf. We remember that back in Exodus chapter 32. All this was happening. All the while, the man of God was doing precious business with God. And he comes down and says, "Who is on the Lord's side?" You know what? Moses had a proper view of who God was. They knew, these men, if you will, knew that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's no wonder that the New Testament apostles spoke in the name of the Lord. All through the book of Acts, you see miracles and wonders being done. They were done, and they were performed in his name. It is no wonder why Paul said, well, I love this story. Paul said, in the midst of a tragic Mediterranean hurricane, Euroclydon, back in Acts 27, when they warned him not to set sail, and of course they went ahead and set sail anyway. And of course the ship fell apart and so forth, but you know what, Paul gets up there and he basically takes charge of the ship, and he says in the midst of that chapter, I believe God. God's going to go ahead and deliver us from this turmoil. God's going to go ahead and deliver us from this heartache. God's going to go ahead and deliver us from this discouragement. God's going to go ahead and deliver us. There's not going to be a soul lost on this ship. Why? Because a man of God said, I believe God. Let me just stop and say this. If we're going to go ahead and salvage America, we need some men and women of God. We need our churches to rise up again and say, hey, I believe God. And pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What I'm trying to say in these illustrations, we need to get to a proper view of who God is. Recognize who America's lost it. America really has lost the view of who God really is. You know, and it's sad today. We look at the turmoil. We look at the chaos from a Christian's perspective. I see it. I see the heartaches that's brought into the heartache that sin brings into the home. I see the discouragement that sin brings into the home, into individuals, into teenagers, into bus families. Hey, I see it all. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? If America would go ahead and wake up and get a view of who God really is again, we just might see this nation being saved. And by the way, I'm not a preacher of doom here. I still believe the word of God. I still believe 2 Chronicles 7:14. I do believe that if God's people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and you know what God promises, then. But there's some conditions that need to be met. Boy, we need to get our churches back into focus on God again. We need to get our churches focused on the Word of God again. We need to get our homes focused back on the Word of God again. We need to teach our kids the Word of God again. We need to go ahead and pull away some things, some devices that are evil to the kids that would go ahead and bring them down from having a cloudy vision of who God is. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we need to get a proper perspective of who God is. We need to recognize that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to recognize that He is on His throne, as Isaiah sees. He is high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. That's the skirts off the Lord's robe. It's presenting His glory and how it filled the temple. Hey, we need to get a perspective of who God is again. That's what happened to Isaiah. Number one, how did he get to the point of here am I, send me? He had to go ahead through his discouragement. He had to go ahead and kind of revisualize and kind of wipe away some things and really get a vision of who God is. Have a proper perspective of God. Isaiah saw God on his throne. Nothing else distracted him from this particular moment. He saw God's glory. You see, when you go ahead and you put God in his rightful place, all the other things will start looking differently. Let me just say that again. When you start putting God where he ought to be in your life, let me tell you something. All other things in your life, I'm talking about when maybe it's toys. I'm talking about that besetting sin that you may be battling with. I'm talking about whatever the case may be, the weights that may be kind of slowing you down from serving God. When you go ahead and you first of all get God where he should be in proper perspective, then you'll start looking at things a whole lot differently in your life. You know what, Daddy, it'd be good, you know, if you're struggling with your kids. Let me ask you a question. Maybe you're struggling with raising your kids and so forth. Let me just ask you a question, Mom and Dad. Let me ask you a question. Where is God? Oh, yeah, you're saved. You know, you for sure you're on your way to heaven. But now, think about this. You're having trouble with your kids. They don't seem to listen and so forth. Let me ask you, have you got the proper view of God? Is he properly viewed in your home? You know, hey, Dad, you know you're the leader of that home. Hey, Mama, you're the mama of that home. You're the leaders, if you will, of that home. Let me ask you a question. You having trouble with your kids? You having a little bit of turmoil, a little bit of chaos in your life? Hey, let me ask you a question. Where's God? Do you have a proper view of God? Is there some sin? Hey, I'm going to use this red mic here. Is there some sin in your life? Is there some things in your life? I guess this one's got the red light, so that means stop. But this one might mean go if it's green. Amen? All right, let me just say, yeah, all right, we got a green light. Amen? The other one, not the red one. Can you hear me now? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? You've got a little bit of chaos in your life. You got a little bit of trouble in your life. You're a little bit discouraged this morning. Let me ask you a question. Where's God? How do you view God right now? I mean, yeah, even the best of Christians that were once on a mountaintop, they were serving, a lot of great things were happening, but then all of a sudden it just seems like some things started going on, some financial difficulties, some problems, the kids weren't getting along, a little bit of strife in the home, you start to get discouraged, and then you kind of say, God, listen to me, this isn't fair. You know what, if you're shaking your fist at God, listen, that's not the proper perspective. God, you know what he says? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hey, listen to me. Have a little chaos in your life. Have a little discouragement. Have a little bit of distraction. Have a little bit of problems with your kids. I don't know, but let me ask you a question. Where is God in view? Where is he in view? Christian, did you acknowledge him this morning? Christian, did you get in the Word of God and read his precious Word this week? Hey, Christian, did you go ahead and get on your knee and bow a knee this week to a holy King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who saved your soul? Did you go ahead and bow a knee and you pray to that holy Father, holy God, if you will, this week? You know, the truth of the matter is it might be that we have some chaos in our life and some struggle in our life simply because we've really lost a clear vision of who God is. Now, you've not lost your salvation. Don't you leave here and say, well, no. You don't misunderstand that. You can, if you're saved, God lives right there. Jesus lives there. Nobody can take it away. It's a gift of God. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? A lot of chaos and a lot of struggle may come simply because where is God in our life? Does he have the preeminence? Is he number one? Hey, listen. We need to put him in his rightful place. When you put him in the rightful place, things will start looking a little bit differently. Nothing else should matter when you have God in view. We kind of get so wrapped up in the pleasures of this world and money and so forth. And again, I just say this, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. But I reiterate, when we have stuff, go ahead and replace God, that's when it becomes a problem. And we get so wrapped up in the pleasures of this world that we lose sight of God and who he really is. You know, the Bible says about that in 1 John 2:15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It might be, you know what? We've got a little problems, got a little bit of chaos in our life, simply because we've got some worldliness there that needs to be weeded out. We've got some stuff that's kind of getting in the way. Maybe it's just the stuff. I'm talking about all the pleasures that we can have, the toys that we can attain and so forth. And again, that's not bad, but why don't you use them for God? You know, I was talking to someone years ago, back along when I was living in Maine, you know, they had some things and they had toys, if you will. And they admitted, they came to me and said, Pastor Weeks, you know, I just get a little bit distracted on Sundays and Wednesdays and going to church because of some of the things. I said, you know what? Your things aren't bad. Now, if they dominate your life and they're getting to a point where it's replacing God in his time, then that's what's becoming bad. I said, you know what? You know what you ought to do? You ought to use them things for the cause of Christ. You ought to use that four-wheeler, if you will. Okay? And again, I'd love to have a four-wheeler, but you know, let me just say this. Sunday morning at 10:45, you're not going to see me out there in the church parking lot zooming around on it. Amen? Be a little weird if the preacher was doing that. You know, everybody's in here singing and waiting, scratching their head. You know? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Nothing wrong with stuff. But why not use that boat? Why not use that Nintendo, or not Nintendo, Wii, or the stuff, if you will, and use that as a teen activity for the church? Allow a teenager who does not have some, and maybe have a little activity at the house and have them come on over and maybe ride a four-wheeler or maybe do a couple things that they're not used to ever doing and they may never have because the means will never be there. You know, but the truth of the matter, stuff is not bad, but when it gets in the way of God, it can be. We get so wrapped up in our own selves sometimes that we forget and recognize God in his greatness. We kind of remove God, if you will, kind of snatch him, if you will, from his rightful place. God's not going to force himself on you. You know, he doesn't come down and grab you by the nape of the neck and say, you know what, I want you to go ahead and serve me. He doesn't go ahead and do that. He will not force himself on you one bit. You know, the truth of the matter is we have the right to choose how we live our Christian life or our life period. But let me just stop and say this. We do not have the right to choose the consequences of that choice. We choose God and the blessings of God and allow God to go ahead and dominate our life and have him be high and lifted up in our life like Isaiah. When we allow him the preeminence, you know, by the way, the ones that do that, they are the happy Christians that I know. But when we allow that and so forth, then there's joy and so forth, and they've made some right choices,